This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Development Committee meeting will be held on Monday, January 22nd at 4:30 p.m. The meeting will be held online via a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify a meeting is being held.
Tune in to Pathways, a show featuring conversations with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. Join me, host Paul O'Brien, or my co-host Donald Altman every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. You can find out more about the show or listen to the program archive at kboo.fm/pathways.
And yes, you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, available on the web, kboo.fm, and the KBOO app, available for Android and Google. And we are live today, right now, during the ice-pocalypse that we've been having. And the lines will be open in about 10-15 minutes. The number is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And you are listening to Once Upon a Time with our own Consuelo Miranda. Yeah, stick around.
This is Consuelo. Good morning. Once upon a time, and we were just listening Japanese jazz. The name of the song is Take Five. And why is that? Because the program today is dedicated to Japan. Today we are going to talk about travel journal, another way of writing autobiography. But first, as usual, we ask your collaboration and become a member of this wonderful station so you can support us, KBOO 0.07, whatever. And no, whatever. My boss is moving his head. It's KBOO 0.07. And you can do it by text. Text KBOO to 44321. So why today Japan? Well, no, by accident I found this young man, very knowledgeable, and he was talking about his trip to Japan, and I was fascinated about it because I love to travel. So to start, we will talking a little bit about Japan. Japan is an island in the East Asia. It is in the Northwest Pacific Ocean. Of course, the Japanese yen, we know about that. It has 125 million inhabitants. It's the 11th most populous country in the world. Also, Japan is the world's largest life expectancy, although it's experienced a population decline due to its very low birth rate, a problem that we are having all over the world. It's a leader, we know, in automobile, robotic, electronic, science, and technology. Also, exporter and importer. And what about their culture? That is something that interests me the most. It's art, cuisine, film, music, and popular culture, video games industry. Craft, a ceramic, beautiful ceramic, I am very fan of. Kabuki, I was talking with my guests about that Kabuki theater when I was taking my, learning my master's degree in theater. We learned about Kabuki, the tea ceremony, ikebana, martial art, calligraphy, geisha, and games. And also the architecture, one of the disciplines that fascinated me, made it by wooden sliding doors to make the distinction between rooms and indoor and outdoors. Then talking about philosophy, Confucian ideal remain evident in the Japanese concept of society and the self and the organization of the government and the structure of society. This is a subject we are going to talk with our guests. Then the Buddhist is impact Japanese psychology, metaphysics, and aesthetic. That is another interesting. Now, about one of the subjects that we have been talking here often is about film. So Kurosawa, one of the best director, film director, screenwriter, and producer. I was telling my friend that I went to the theater, to the movie, at 3 years old, and my cousin took me to a Kurosawa movie. I cried the whole movie, and still I am crying about that because it was a lot of violence and I was so young, but something unforgettable. About literature, Murakami. Who doesn't know Murakami? Right now, very popular. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize. I read two of his books, South of the Border and Novelist as a Vacation, where he explained how he became a novelist. And he does very nice and very productive tips to the people who wants to become writers. And Yoko Owagwa, she has a book I haven't read, but I want to, called The Housekeeper. Okay, here we are with this wonderful traveler. His name is Matt Cortesi from Calabria, Italy, beautiful country. And he is going to talk about Japan, but more than Japan itself, about how he became in love with Japan. Hi, Matt, nice to have you here. So I hope and I am sure you will enjoy talking about your experience.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I first want to mention that I'm actually from Hobart, Indiana, and not Calabria. My family is from Calabria.
Good. Yeah, to me, we were talking about that, so you, in my mind, you are still from Calabria. Okay, so tell us how it started in your mind as a boy, this desire of traveling first, to have the journal, because this is an autobiography program, and we need to talk about the relationship between writing in different way, but it's still autobiography. So,
My first introduction to Japanese culture was sparked in first grade. My teacher was explaining her trip, and she was talking about how people would come up to her and like grab her hair because they were like so interested, and it was blonde hair, and I guess that wasn't very common in Japan, and from my experience it's not very common unless it's, you know, dyed hair. At any rate, I was very intrigued by that behavior, and that was kind of the spark of like my interest in Japan, but it probably wasn't my It wasn't the reason I went. It was just something that, you know, grabbed my attention.
What year are we talking?
When I was in first grade?
Yes, more or less.
About 1990?
Yeah, because 1980, it's something? Important to put in context to see how Japan was at that time, too.
Yeah.
Too, because it's extremely interesting,
sure,
to see that they were doing that, as she mentioned, the teacher, with her hair, because it's unbelievable. Okay, go ahead.
I think that's also where I started being interested in telling stories. I wanted to be the cool kid in class, so I made up this story that my father was stationed in Japan, which was obviously not true, and nor was he like in the army or anything. But I got caught because my mom went to a parent-teacher conference, and the teacher asked her how my father was doing in Japan. And my mom was very upset with me.
Oh, no, no. She should have been proud of you because that showed your creativity that you have.
That's what I tried to explain, but she was more on the morality of lying.
Oh, no, the morality of lying is creativity, yeah. Innovation, energy. Okay, keep going.
But then I, later on in life, I was in a car accident where I almost died. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like switched a fire inside of me to want to, like, you know, live life to the fullest. And so then I, after that, after all my recovery and stuff, I went on a backpacking trip throughout Europe with my cousin.
Nice.
And fell in love with international travel.
Very good. I think the first international travel doesn't need to be international. I remember that I used to take a bus from my school when my father wasn't able to pick me up to my house the longest time. So this way I could see different neighborhood because I love it to travel so much. So I understand the impact of that first trip that you had with your cousin to Europe. What places in Europe?
We went to England, the Netherlands,
Netherlands.
Switzerland, and Italy.
Oh, so it was a very good portfolio,
yeah,
of different culture and mm-hmm. different geography. Very interesting. So in that moment, you feel that you had already the idea or the projection, oh, one day I will go to Japan.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, it definitely triggered my desire to travel. And then there were other instances that, you know.
Tell us.
Started to create. So one was that I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes right before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And part of me wanted to overcome, I guess, some of my trepidation about traveling alone with this disease. And so when COVID kind of let up a little bit and Japan started allowing travelers, I got the idea of going. I got really into baking and cooking, and then I found this show on Netflix about this guy running a diner. It's called Midnight Diner. And I thought it was a very strange and beautiful show. And I was like, man, I want to go there and see what that's all about.
To have the experience.
Yes.
And to see it by yourself. I think it's very interesting, your path, your journey, because you have had two time, almost like me, that you have been almost ready to depart to a different world. But that give you more motivation to enjoy more life and to be more present in your life. And that is a big switch, I think. And that probably was the push that you needed to make the decision of going to Japan. Am I right or so?
Yeah, definitely has a lot to do with it. I also had a cousin who lived in Lake Oswego.
Yeah.
When I moved out here, it was mainly because of him, and we were very close, and he died.
Oh.
And it really...
A young age.
Yeah, it hurt really bad to lose him.
Okay.
But I remember going to a Japanese festival at Wajimaya in Beaverton.
Yeah.
And it was just such a beautiful experience. And I fell in love with the food there, too. And so I one of the catalysts was for the food. I just wanted to eat my way through Japan. And I took a ramen class there and learned how to make ramen in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Where the shoyu ramen was originated in Asakusa, Japan.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible experience.
Yeah, very good. I agree. I think the approach to culture incentivize the trip. It can happen before or after the trip. But I think it's better to have it before, because in some way you start planning the trip, but also you start getting acquainted with the culture. That's something so important, especially when you don't speak the language, because still you don't speak Japanese, but you will. Yeah. And because you're in love with, and I understand, I share that kind of love with friends, for example. And where it come the idea of the journal?
Well, when I went to Europe the first time, I just wrote about my experiences. But I wrote, when I was younger, a lot of poetry and journaling. I drew a lot. My dad's an artist for a living. And I was constantly trying to create at a young age, and it just followed me throughout, you know, my whole life. I've been...
So when you were in Japan, were you also writing a journal about
yes.
your day by day?
Yeah.
Did you have something there that you can read?
I have a bunch of poetry.
Okay, you can
based
read.
I'll read a poem. This one's called Hidden Harmonies.
Yes.
Station labyrinth, like the mind scattered in wind, exit is entry. Neon reflections shine bright, a path is set in the night. The green hotel pink, the weights of the stomach sink, eyes are heavy, think. Loud tussle fills the stairwell, dark as hell I make my way. Writing heavy lines, scribbling some words felt bleak. Eyelids start to fall, sink in and out of sleep. Dreaming deep, awaken beep. The vending machine, coins rattle to rust in place. Hot canned coffee sparks, strange sensations in the hand. Caffeine jitter stirs the plan. Ancient temples hold dead children, frozen in stone. Turning thoughts divide, revolving pigeons flutter, flapping and point and shudder. The river flows true, naked cherry trees show dew, wet and dark red hue, dappled light drifts in and out. Feeling connected, no doubt, hidden harmonies, blending in radical ways, empty space holds the day. It gives us the support now, in reverence I must bow.
Mm-hmm. What That's can I say? I mean, I need to read it 10 times to really capture everything. How this poem, do you remember how this poem came alive in you?
Yeah, it was kind of like when I first arrived to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I got kind of like lost in Ueno Station.
Yeah.
Just trying to get out of that place was a task. But once I did, I got to my first accommodation, which was kind of a bit of a seedy hotel. And then...
What is a seedy hotel?
Like, it's kind of sketchy, kind of run down a bit.
Funky?
Just kind of run down.
Okay.
Like, in the back alleys.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, then my next day going to a temple and having an experience, I came to a statue that was like the statue of like lost children. Mm. And then I was thinking deeply about my sister.
Yeah, so that motivate and that give you the sensibility and the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't deal with the feeling was so strong that you needed to put it in writing. This is exactly
yes.
what we have been talking all along, 1 month and 2 weeks now in this program, that words are healing. It helps you to heal the process of any emotion, even positive emotion too. See, not everything in life is sorrow. We do have good moments like this today. Our line now are open, 503-231-8187. If you want to share with us any experience that you have had during a trip, even a trip to the store, that is always an experience, especially this week. And we will be very happy to listen to you. We are here today with our friend Matt Cortesi, not from Calabria, from the U.S., but an international traveler that is sharing with us his experience in his trip to Japan. Tell us, Matty, about the city where you went, and what are the places that impress you the most?
I started my trip in Tokyo, and kind of the northeastern part. And then I spent a few days roaming about. And then I took a train to Kyoto. Kyoto was absolutely amazing. Tokyo was too in its own right. But Kyoto was more of a nature type trip. A lot of temples I visited and...
garden.
Yep, a lot of gardens. The maples were... So beautiful, red and orange and yellow, and had quite the experience there. And then I made my way to Osaka, where I met my mother-in-law, and we ate our way through that city.
Nice.
Which was
very
nice.
It seemed that Kyoto is the city of the culture.
Yep. It definitely has a lot of cultural experiences.
Okay, here we are. This is Consuelo. Go ahead. Hello. Yoo-hoo. Hello. Nobody. What happened? Hello.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I didn't know I'd get on so fast.
No, you
Hi, Consuelo. It's Tangent again.
But it's there. The caller is there, but we cannot hear you. Oh, I can...
I can hear.
Hang on.
I cannot hear.
Okay, is that better?
I could hear.
You can hear?
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. My name is Tangent. Wade Consuelo.
Yes, yes. Now I am here.
I'm glad you're talking about Japan because I've been a Japanese gardener for most of my career. I couldn't do it in every yard, but I always try to incorporate the aspects of layering and, you know, you don't bonsai. Basically, bonsai, I do those too, but those are in pots. But topiary is when they're in the ground and you still want to separate, layer the branches. But first of all, about traveling, I remember this quote by Mark Twain. It's hilarious already. If a mule goes traveling, it won't come back a horse.
I like that.
I like, if you're going somewhere, you might want to learn a little bit before you go over there and expect everybody to translate for you.
Very good, very good. So,
but about Japan, if we can stay with that, because
yes,
it's beautiful. As I said, I've done this. My business card shows it, tree artistry, I call it. But I read this when I first got interested in bonsai, and I'm still trying to think of what exactly got me in that direction, because I can't think of any early influences. But as I got into gardening, you know, tree trimming and such, I thought about bonsai, so I went to this nursery. They had pots and trays and all, and they had this little pamphlet by a guy that was like 80-some years old, a master bonsai gardener of Japan, right?
Yeah.
And it was a question and answer thing where America, he was touring here, and the first question was, it said, how do you learn to be a bonsai artist? And he said, first, you must kill one.
Very interesting.
Okay, and I thought, no way, I'm never going to do that. I tell you what, a bonsai is like a puppy, okay? It's like a dog. You've got to feed it, if not every day, at least every 2 or 3 days, and you have to adjust to the weather and the heat and draw. and take it in the garage when it's cold. Yeah, but okay. And the next question was this. I love it because it goes. The question was, how as we as Americans can we become master Japanese bonsai artists? And he says, you can't. So you become master American Japanese bonsai artist.
Very good answer, I think.
Don't put roadblocks in front of yourself. And I have visited, if you ever get to D.C., Washington, they have a National Arboretum there in Northwest with the bonsai exhibition with trees that are 300 years old.
Beautiful.
Sequoias, they pulled out of, like, the deserts of California. And, I don't want to get too far on that.
Okay.
I did enjoy the conversation, and I don't want to get too political because we're having so much fun here, but I feel like what's going on in Gaza is like a black hole of our humanity on this planet.
Okay. We move geographically to another side of the world.
We won't do that now.
We move. Yeah, we move.
Okay, love. Keep going.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Nice to hear from you. Take care. Bisous. Ciao, ciao. Au revoir.
I will say that the trees in Japan are fantastic. They're beautiful. They're well manicured. I came across one in Takayama, which is in the mountains, Japanese Alps, and it was 1,200 years old. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think, we have here the Japanese garden. I have been visiting several Japanese gardens in different places in the world, and no doubt that there is something that our culture, Western, don't get it. I mean, their style, aesthetic, sensibility, care, patience. Patience is very, very important. Like our caller said, you need to take care of the bonsai in a way that you take care of a puppy because it's alive, isn't it? And
that did make me think of a quote that I came across in Japan. Yeah. I was at a jazz bar in Tokyo, and it's actually a Western quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I love Scott Fitzgerald.
It's called. It says, "Vitality shows not in only the ability to persist, but also the ability to start over." And so, if you do kill your first bonsai, then you can potentially find the vitality to start over. And
that is a persistence. And we were talking before about the last prime minister of Japan who was murdered, Shinzo Abe. And I was telling my friend that I like him very much. I never met him. He went to Chile, and we were very happy. The relationship between Chile and Japan has been always very close, not only because we share the Pacific, but because we share the earthquake. And so if there is an earthquake in Japan, we know right away that someday we are going to have one, and vice versa. And other thing in the culture, too, that we share. And Shinzo Abe was murdered in 2022 for no reason, in my opinion. And I like it, and I was happy to read this morning about him, that he was a charm and charismatic, full of determination, resilience, and pleasant persistence. And I think the persistency in how the Japanese society has been developed and resilient started all over again after so many war and very difficult time is something that we should learn, all of us. How was your impression about the society? Did you have a chance? I am so happy that you went to a jazz bar. And what other experience did you have to get in touch with Japanese society or Japanese population that impressed you? Can you tell us?
It's hard to...
What about the class that you took?
Oh, yes. I took that ramen class. It was great. To understand the history of ramen. And
can you explain, elaborate a little bit, because maybe many people don't know what it is.
Okay, so we made shoyu ramen. So each city has their own unique ramen that they, you know, master. And in Tokyo, Asakusa, where I was, we're famous for creating the shoyu ramen, which is a soy sauce based ramen. And yeah, it kind of developed from China, but then they put their own spin on it. I guess like the noodle soup was kind of like a transformation. But we made gyozas, which are essentially of Chinese nature, but then the way they shape them.
But what it is a bakery? What is a bake? What it is?
Gyoza is a dumpling.
Oh, dumpling.
Yeah.
I love dumplings. Yeah.
It's very
good. And it's a...
We made gyozas
along with... Stuffed by veggie, stuffed by chicken, pork?
They have different chicken, pork, and veggie, but we did pork and cabbage dumpling, which was very tasty.
Okay, and let's move a little bit about... keep going with the journal. What else did you write in your journal?
Well, mostly it's just points of interest, what I did throughout the day. But they're mainly just like scattered notes and to help me write my poems at a later date.
Yeah, so this is the first step, and then you concentrate and you write the poem. Very nice, because it's a certain way of discipline. And you have a method. For sure you have a method of writing that is very nice. But your impression as an observer, or somebody who kept a dream for so long, what was your first impression? When you arrived in Tokyo, did you feel this is home?
I didn't feel like I was at home, for sure. It felt like a new world, which I'm very open to, and I love that. But it felt very different from most of my Western experiences.
May I ask why your mother-in-law is in Japan? Is she Japanese?
Who?
Your mother-in-law? You said your mother?
Oh, no. Actually, she needed to go on a trip.
Okay.
And she knew I was going to be there, so she thought she would come.
Anything. But there's something else about the society, because this is one of my subjects, sociology, that I like very much, that impact you. For example, when you were walking or taking the rail, that is a very good system, very efficient in Tokyo. Were some gesture, conversation, silent, people reading. When you take the metro, for example, in Paris, one of the things that impressed you, that is almost everybody's reading or talking or kissing each other, what is very nice to have that experience. And so did you have something similar that you can share?
Yeah, the trains are silent.
Silent.
No one talks.
I die.
And if you do, you get dirty looks. So luckily, I had no one to talk to because I was traveling alone, so I didn't break that rule. Most people were on their phones and just kind of, you know, the modern world where
communication.
They're addicted to their screens.
And were you impacted by silent? That silent was a silent of a kind of monastery, kind of secret place?
For me, it felt sacred to me.
Yeah.
I had time to like kind of digest the experiences that I had from, you know, one place to the next.
What else did impress you? In the jazz bar, for example, how was the behavior, how the people were related to each other, to the waitress? What was the dynamic?
That culture is based off of respect, and I really, really fell in love with that aspect.
But elaborate more.
People treat you with, you know, dignity and...
How you felt that?
Just the way they, like, approach you. They meet you, like, when I walked into the bar, they came and, like, grabbed my coat, and they, like, ushered me, like, to my seat, and they, like, the service was just you know, really good, and the bartenders were very knowledgeable, and it just felt like service you don't often get here.
Why? I don't see yet the difference, because as a person who is not an American, I feel, what are you saying, similar more or less at what I get here, especially in a nice restaurant where I like to go, or used to like to go. And so tell me more specific. What was the attitude? Was the welcome you?
I guess the welcoming, it felt more welcoming. I don't know quite how to explain it other than...
You didn't feel that you were in a service place. You felt that you were...
I felt like I was in a home.
At home.
Yeah.
Very good. That is a very nice... I will remind you, we are talking with Matt Cortese, and our phone is 503-231-8187. Once upon a time, here in Portland, Oregon. And you are welcome to tell us your experience about your trips, journal, anything that comes to mind. We will be happy to listen. Okay, so what else can you tell me about the feeling? What feeling did you have when you come back? It was a shock to come back to our culture here. Yeah. How was the transition for you?
I felt a sense of relief, but also a bit of a longing. Because I had several like spiritual experiences there.
Tell us.
Well, one was in this temple in Kyoto called Jojakko-ji.
Yeah.
It's in Arashiyama, which is kind of the eastern part of Tokyo. I mean, the western part of Kyoto, sorry. And I don't know if it was just like the whole scenery was just overwhelmingly beautiful that I just kind of lost my myself in that moment. And it was very beautiful.
I don't think that you lost yourself in that moment. All the opposite. I think that you encounter yourself in that moment.
Yes, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, because you were full of emotion.
It was reflected.
Full of emotion and observing yourself inside. Because this is something that I always tell in the program and to my friend. The trip to travel is not only an experience from the outside. It's an experience in the inside. And that is one of the reasons because I am thinking about going to Japan, because I want to challenge myself to be in a completely different environment that where I have been my whole life since I was 18 years old, traveling abroad. And that feeling of going inside of yourself and looking at how you respond to a new culture, how you adjust, how you get out of your comfort zone, that is in itself a trip. And because bring you a lot of reflection. So I used to say the trip start when you start thinking about, dreaming about, planning about. Finally, you go. But the trip continued because you start looking at your video, picture, whatever, the writing in that case. Matt wrote several nice poems, and it stayed with you for a long time. So it's not only one experience. It's continued, to be continued. And in that process of to be continued, you also are growing tremendously, tremendously in terms of culture. How many, did you go to a museum?
Yeah, I went to several museums.
Okay, tell us.
I went to the Hokusai Museum.
Yeah.
Famous Japanese artist that did the wave, which
yes,
is
the famous. I had it in my house for many years. Yeah.
That was a beautiful experience. He did a bunch of illustrations that were really dark and twisted that I really enjoyed. They're called the 100 Ghost Stories, and that surprised me. Because I hadn't seen that type of art from him.
Yeah. How was the relationship between the people? Also the silent? Or how was the organization of the museum?
Oh, it kind of laid out like a lot of art museums.
Okay.
Yeah, very quiet.
Efficient?
Yeah, definitely efficient, laid out in a way that moves the...
And what other cultural experience did you have?
Let's see here.
Think. You went to a gallery? No, you went to a museum?
I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I'm a big
fan of baseball. It's located at the Tokyo Dome where the Giants play their Major League Baseball team there in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting for a baseball fan like myself. They had a bunch of Major League Baseball things there too, outside of the Japanese League, which I found fascinating.
Why?
I'm not sure. I guess I was expecting like more Japanese baseball memorabilia, which they had a fair amount for sure. But actually, I was a little underwhelmed. I guess I didn't really know what to expect, but I got there too early and it wasn't open. And so I found this garden, a Japanese garden, that was probably one of the best places I went. And it was a mistake. You know, I wasn't planning on going there. And I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I was an hour early.
What kind of garden was?
They had a lot
outside,
of...
Outside, obviously.
Yeah, it was an outside garden. Yeah. I mean, it was mostly trees, you know?
Yeah.
There were Japanese
only
pines.
Japanese tree, or some of them were imported, like from China or other places?
I think it was mostly Japanese trees, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just beautiful, and they were selling dango, which is a mochi treat.
Yeah.
It's more of a savory one. And there I had a bit of a low blood sugar due to my diabetes, and
yes.
It was kind of concerning, but luckily they were selling those treats, which helped me not pass out.
To keep going.
So, that was a great experience.
It was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
If you are a baseball fan, to see that is to be in heaven, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Definitely.
I will tell you to remind you that I didn't mention before, Matt has a digital media production bachelor, and he went to film as an editor, and he's a poet also, and very intellectual and fascinated man, and we found some things in common. He likes Ingrid Bergman like I do. So that is very nice. So what else in terms of the architecture? What city was for you the most efficient? To the point that you could see, that you can move, that you can feel about our city, for example. One way I define Portland when people ask me is through the public transportation.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very, and the river, obviously, and the bridge. Those are the three aspects. What city will you describe to somebody who is blind, for example?
Well, Tokyo has a lot of people, but it is super efficient. And you could be very cramped inside of a subway train during rush hour.
Yes.
It's quite, you know, plausible. And
we have seen that in many movies.
But it wasn't too bad. Sometimes I felt a little uneasy because I had two backpacks, because I was kind of backpacking throughout. So I felt like I was taking up, you know, an extra person's space with those backpacks, which made me feel uncomfortable. But it was really efficient. The trains were always on time, and you were able to get to any part of the city relatively easy. They have a line called the Yamamoto Line, which if you have the JR pass, which is a rail pass you can purchase.
The one you bought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can pretty much get around relatively easy.
And is Japan as expensive as the people said?
Actually, I was surprised that a lot of the food was relatively cheap, and it was a little expensive, but I wouldn't say that is overly expensive.
But in relation to the prices here in Chern, for example,
yeah, I think
a glass of wine, I don't know, you don't drink probably, yeah, but a lunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think ramen there is much cheaper than it is here. Sushi is cheaper there.
Yeah, very common.
Yeah.
That is the reason because there are a lot of demand, mm-hmm, a lot of offer and a lot of demand too.
I really liked Osaka. They had a lot of really good food there, especially the butter unagi, which is what eel.
What it is?
It's eel.
Eel.
And they put like a little strip of butter on there and wrap it in seaweed. It's quite delicious.
Nice eel. We have eel in Chile and it's very, very beautiful. Nice. Mm. And when we talk to our client when they were traveling to Chile, that was, they start eating very happy. And then Fred always said, do you know what are you eating? No, fish. No, you're eating eel. Really? Really? It's a different, it's the Pacific Ocean. It's a different kind. It's super white fish, tender, and we cook in a different way. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, made me homesick.
I did have one experience that I remember. I met a Japanese man named Shoyu, who him and I ended up taking a trip to northern part of Kyoto.
Nice.
To a Shinto shrine in Kifun, and it's to memorialize the god of water. And we walked through a torii gate, which is like kind of an entrance way. It's often built for Shinto shrines. And there was a plate with a bunch of numbers on there. And after walking through the gate, Shoyu told me that those numbers, if they correlate with your age, then you'll have really bad luck.
Oh.
And all the numbers were black, and my age of 42 was red. And I was a little concerned that I was going to have bad luck going forward.
No.
But one of the girls that was staying at the guest house, they told me that red was a color of luck. So
yeah, like in Chinese, you know, that is the reason because I am wearing my sweater, my red sweater that was a gift of one of my friends. Yeah, I think it is interesting, the comparison. Were you making comparison between the state and Japan? Because we do it internally. We don't, sometimes we are not even conscious that we are comparing.
I'm sure I did unconsciously.
Yes.
I try not to do that consciously.
Because you wanted to be there 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when is the next trip to Japan?
My wife and I want to go to Hokkaido, which is an island north of Honshu, which is the main island of Japan. It's hard to say when. Life is
tricky.
But
it's in your heart.
I definitely want to do that though. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I think you should.
There's
you should.
So many places I want to travel though.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. You haven't really. It's not a critic. It's only an observation. I feel it's very hard in the first trip you made to a completely different culture to get everything that culture can offer to you.
Yeah,
I have been going to France 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
I am planning to go this year, I hope. And still, there are some aspect of France that I didn't know that surprised me. In a good way, in a bad way, disturbance, whatever. And people keep asking, why you keep going? Because I have it all. I want to have it all. And it's not that easy to have it all. So you have to go back. No one time. You will go back and probably you will do as I do. Every time I went to Europe, I went Santiago, Paris, and Paris, the other destination and then coming back Paris, Santiago, or Paris, New York. I obligate myself to stop there no matter what, because I wanted, and still I want, to have it all, to feel I really know this culture, because it takes so much time, even if you know the language. So you are just in 101, yeah. Introduction.
Maybe even a step below that.
Yeah, I potentially. Well, but you are very educated man. So I think you are in 101. And that is very good to start, because in your heart, you have the love, you have that emotion, you feel that. When I get to Paris, even the first time, I look around. It's true, I went to a French school. I told my parents, I am home. This is home. Mm-hmm. And still, I have been going many times alone. And I get out of Charles de Gaulle. Oh, here I am. This is my city. It's an incredible emotion. And so I have no doubt that I was there before in my previous life. And you have been before in Japan. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the Shinzo, like the was the name of the prime minister, I keep going, thinking about him, mean heart. So you have that in your writing, and you have that in the way how you approach, since you were in first grade, this wonderful knowledge, idea, desire to get to know a very different country who had a very hard relationship with your country.
Yeah, there was one moment at the one temple that I went to, Senjoji, where I was standing in a place where thousands were killed in the Tokyo air raids, and I felt like an overwhelming sense of sadness, I guess. And
compassion.
It was, yeah.
Compassion,
yeah.
Yeah, I went to a Japanese...
I also, you know, at the same time, they did some pretty horrific things at the time. Not to justify, war. I'm a bit of a pacifist when it comes to war. I don't believe in it. I know it exists, and it'll always exist, but... it's complicated, I would say.
Yeah,
it's lightly.
Yeah, we are no politician, and we are just observing our reality and where our world is going, and our history. Yeah, I went many years ago to one of the big museums about Japanese and the relationship with the state. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. At that point, I think in that moment I start thinking about going to Japan. Ooh, this was 15 years ago, more or less, or more.
One of my close friends that I went to school with, film school, he was Japanese, and I helped him on his senior project, and he did a film about his family and how they were put in internment camps here in the United States.
Yeah.
And that was another, I think, another part of my interest in Japan. I mean, there's so many other factors. Everything's connected, I believe, and it's hard to pinpoint.
Yeah, because coincidence doesn't exist. Carl Jung used to say that. Coincidence doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And also because this thing attract you. You attract them, or it's mutual, you see? And my friend, for example, they laugh because I said, oh, I have been in encounter a lot of people who speak French. They said, you follow them. How I would follow them? I don't know them. Yeah, but you attract them. And this is what happened to you. You attract all these coincidences, one after another, because you were building inside of you that love. And it meant to be, especially after the two main events that happened in your life. I think you needed to be in that culture of silence, of reflection, of auto self-knowledge, self-development, even mystic, to give you all that strain and feel a lot of gratitude toward life, because it's not how much or how long you live, it's how you live. So the point that you went, and I am sure your wife was stimulating you to go, is because you need it, strongly you need it.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't give any love out to Tracy, who...
Yeah. I think she pushed you. Yeah. She pushed you, and I am so, I admire her because she was very generous.
Yes.
Very generous, because I don't know if I would have been so generous. But you needed that experience to be your experience.
This isn't the
your
first
experience,
time.
Because yeah. If she would have been going with you, would have been completely a different trip.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time she showed that kind of grace towards me.
So we dedicate this program to her.
Yeah. I walked the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, yes, you mentioned that before.
Yeah. And we were only married a year, and she let me go for 5 weeks to walk across the country.
Very good, very good. You are a religious person.
Spiritual.
A spiritual person. Yeah. Bueno, now we make that distinction. Okay, Matt, this has been a very, very interesting program. I am so happy that we brought this wonderful country. And I am sure our listener were thinking about or are thinking about going to Japan or start reading Murakami or watching a Kurosawa film and get to know more about this culture and fall in love with. Why not? We are here to experience the world. We are here to know other human beings, to see how they develop their life, what are their value, their belief. And going to that part of the world bring us that sensibility in terms of spirituality that in our society we need tremendously now.
Yeah, they have a concept called wabi-sabi, and it's something that I try to instill into my poetry. And
what it is?
It's essentially like a beauty of like loneliness, and it's like a rustic beauty that's
And how they define loneliness? How they define loneliness?
I found it to be a mirror to my true nature. It gave me the time to reflect on some of my experiences.
Very good definition, because we have to make a distinction between isolation and loneliness or solitude. There are two different things. Isolation is when you detach yourself from any human experience, any experience, what I disagree. And that is the case perhaps of Toro. He went away for a while. And solitude is something that is your choice, or an event come to your life and make you feel lonely, or that you need silence and you need to be with yourself. The best friend that we have, believe it or not, is ourselves. So we have to keep developing that part of our being a human being, and for that, again, writing one more time is one of the tools that our wonderful brain has given to us. I am very happy of today's program. It was a mix of mysterious, mystic, traveling, mad experience, journal. How wonderful to have a travel journal. I still have my travel journal from my first trip to Europe. And when I read it, I couldn't believe it. I mean, how important was that trip to me. And I think in the near program or next program, I would like to have more call. And so this way we can share our experience, and we will be super happy. And don't forget, here we are, once upon a time, and see you soon. O sea, see you. Bueno, in my mind, you are here. And this is it. We are going to finish with...
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 16 de enero del 2024. El peligroso aire helado del Ártico continuó barriendo en los Estados Unidos el lunes, prolongando una ráfaga de frío intenso que ha establecido temperaturas récord y trastornado la vida cotidiana en una amplia franja de los Estados Unidos, incluido un partido de playoff de la NFL y la contienda por la